Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Last Christian. We are so glad that you joined us today. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and all the way from New York. New York is my co-host, Mr. David Paxton. And David, just how in the world, once I find you again here, it always seems to happen to me. I don't know why. But anyway, how in the world are you doing out there in New York today?
We're doing great. I'm doing great. The Lord called me here for a reason. Can't figure out why.
Yeah, same here.
But we just keep working on it.
Yeah. The last thing I ever expected to be doing was a radio program anything, really. I mean, I'll be honest. I did at one time think about getting into radio back in like the 90s or something, you know. And I went over to a radio school and I decided against it. I said, no, I can't do that. Well, guess what? Here we go.
God's got his plans.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the deal. We are going with new formats now with The Last Christian, and today we'll have a little bit of news for you. In the next show, it's going to be Genesis 1. We're going to be talking about Genesis 1. We're going to have Bible study. We're going to go verse by verse for the Bible, because there's a lot of you out there that listen to this show that have never picked up a Bible. You have no idea. You haven't heard the Bible. And we're going to bring it to life. We're going to talk about it in detail. We may make it all the way through Genesis before we're raptured. I don't know. If you're delaying that call, I wouldn't, because the rapture could happen at any time. We'll talk about that later, I'm sure. And then we do three shows a week. So you got sort of a newsy show on the first show of the week, and then the middle show is all scripture all the time. And then on Saturday, we just kind of put it, or not Saturday, on the third show, we put it all together. And, you know, you get some news and you get some scripture and you get some prophecy and you get some opinion and, you know, just a lot of fun. We call it the Week in Review. So anyway, if you have not subscribed yet, if you haven't subscribed yet and you're watching us on YouTube, we do encourage you to do that. Just subscribe to the channel, hit the little bell thing there to where you're reminded about every video that we put out. And that way you stay up with us. And David, I'm going to begin the show by talking about the last show we did, because you were right in the middle. You were right in the middle of a great point, and for whatever reason, it just went away. So, well,
we ran out of time.
I can't say that. We ran out of time. That's what happened. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to play that clip right now, and then David, you can finish your point. So, here we go. This is right at the end of the last show we did.
Even in the Greek, it's not. It's the number of his name. Let me preface this with how many minutes are in an hour?
60.
Okay, six. Why?
Six what?
Why?
I have no idea.
Why is there, why is there 60 seconds in a minute? Why is there 360 degrees? Why? There's a sexagesimal system. It's a six base system. And way back in Babylon, they didn't use the 10 base that we have now because it's divisible by five and two. But this sexagesimal one, there's knuckles you have. So they would count the knuckles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You can count with your thumb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you got five fingers. You can do it five times. Mm-hmm. 5 times 12 is 60. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they had everything as a 60 base. So they would multiply that by 10. You got 600, you got 60, and you got 6. It's a sexagesimal system, okay? Yeah. Which means it's a six base. This is a much better numeric system than the one everybody's used to. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that ancient Babylon used all the time. That's why we have 60 degrees. That's why we have 60 minutes in a circle. This is all reminiscent of the ancient Babylon system. So what I believe, it's not, the number of his name, because here he is. He's this false image, a false reproduction, artificial intelligence that Satan can inhabit now, and because he needs a body. Satan doesn't have a body, so he needs a body he's going to use, and he needs someone who's going to control the whole world, so now he can use a sexagesimal system. So now this system, which can calculate, you know, the all the Bitcoin stuff or your cryptocurrencies. It can calculate everybody at every split second where they are much more efficiently with an adiabatic.
I got to break in. I got to break in on you. I hate to do it, but I got to because we're out of time. And we're going to pick this up. We're going to pick this up in the next show. Okay. All right, David. I did have to cut you off last time, but we got lots of time now.
We're just getting to the adiabatic quantum computers.
Well, it's all yours, sir. You go ahead and tell us all about whatever you're going to tell us about, because I know sometimes you just come up with this wild stuff. And I'm going, what's he going? Where is he going? Okay. Anyway.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. Go ahead and do your thing there and finish that thought, because you were rolling. It is all yours, sir. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. So, we were talking about how the numeric system of the sexagesimal, the six base, is just a lot better. But 60 is like the primary one, and then it goes in either direction, up and down. But you also see that in an adiabatic quantum computer, basically it's super chilled, and it can almost process faster than you can think about it. Here we are. We have this ability.
Is what you're talking about? Yeah.
It's like far beyond anything we can get in the house.
Right.
And it's got to be, you know, it's got to be super cooled. But it has the ability. It's weird the way they look at it. And when you look at CERN, and I forgot the guy's name. That's a shame that he looks at CERN, but he talks about this a lot. Basically, it can almost answer the question before you ask it, because it seems to be reaching into other dimensions, because, you know, we live in a time-space continuum, and we're in the box. It's all based on the speed of light. The speed of light determines time, it determines space, it determines mass, it determines everything. So when you're getting into this realm, it's almost reaching outside of it, which is what the Antichrist is trying to do. And even says in the word, he says it'll be so close to the gospel that if the only reason we don't fall for it is because we are elect, basically is what he says.
Right.
So this numeric system just works a lot better. And that's why he says, who can calculate the number of his name? So this is what the devil is going to be using in there. And it's also reminiscent, because anything with a six is not the seven. And in the numerology of the ancient Hebrews, six would be the number of man. So Vav is like the sixth letter, and it would represent man and be like a man walking. And Vav is an and. So, and it's a tent spike. There's a lot of different pictures. That'd be another show, is the pictograph Hebrew. So that'll be fun too. Actually, when we do Genesis, we're going to get into that. So, but six is a number of man. So you have 600 and then 60 and then six, all represents man three times trying to be God. So there's many layers to prophecy. It's pretty cool. But then, Joel, we got to jump back to, here's the one for you, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, which you explained to me before we came on as being Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, the king of old Babylon, yeah.
Yeah, Nebu. It's three words there, actually. Nebuchadnezzar. So, Nebi, we'll call him Nebi.
Okay.
He built a statue, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guess how tall the statue was?
Well, you told me, so I'm not going to guess. It's like,
yeah, well, okay, everyone out there, guess.
Six, I guess 300 feet, and I was way off. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a good guess. Yeah, but, I mean, it's better than zero.
Yeah.
So it's 60 cubits. Okay.
And how much is a cubit?
A cubit's about a foot and a half. It's from here to here.
Okay.
So the bigger ones, some of them measure up to 24 inches, but usually they figure it about a foot and a half, 18 inches.
Okay.
So there's 60 cubits. So we don't need to know what that translates into. The fact is it's 60 cubits, and it's six cubits wide. And he had, check this out, to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image. And then he had six different kinds of instruments. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
he sent him out. And just when you look at all the numerology behind the statue itself, it is an Antichrist statue. Everybody's supposed to bow down to it. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're going to get killed. And so all this typology, we see it all together. So to me, when it, you know, we say 666 and they got all this stuff, but it's really 660 and 6 in the Greek.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's not 666. It's 600, literally three different words, 600 and 60 and 6. And it speaks to me about the Babylon system that's out there, the world system as we would know it today, the Babylon system using this type of quantum dynamics and numeric system in order to have the ability to actually control what everybody can buy and sell instantly. Yeah. In the world. That just makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense now in a lot of ways with, with this new AI stuff that's going on, the advent of computers. And I'll throw this in as a side note real quick, that back in the 70s, 1970s, and a lot of y'all are going, oh, wow, those are anyway.
There was people around back then?
Yeah, way back then, I had a friend. And we used to call him Old Weird Harold. Okay, I won't give his last name just in case he's listening. Okay, but we used to call him Old Weird Harold because he came up with some of the wildest stuff. And one night we were all sitting around and he said, you know, the day is coming when everybody is going to have a computer. And we looked at him and said, you are out of your ever-beloved mind. Because, you know, you got these big computers. Back then, a computer would take up the size of a room. You know, that's how big they were. And so you could, you know, people aren't going to put a thing like that in their house. Well, look at us now. We can't get along without the internet, right? I mean, it's crazy.
And we're on it right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so anyway, that was just a side note on that. But, you know, AI, computers, all that coming together at the same time. And then, of course, the Bible telling us how things are going to go. It all fits. Everything fits, David.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I think, and transhumanism kind of jumps right in with that too. So if I'm looking at this from a 2023 angle, here is the Antichrist. He's going to appear to die. Okay. And then he's going to appear to come back. So you remember the $6 million man, we can rebuild him.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm thinking they kill off this dude because Satan wants to take him over anyway. So they kill him off. They get a wound to his head. And then he appears to raise from the dead because, remember, he's the pseudo-Christ.
Right.
He's trying to look like Jesus. Oh, he's got to die and rise from the grave.
Right.
So they make it look like it. And what they do is they just kind of transhumanize this guy. So they bring him back up. They put this computer chip in his head, a la Elon Musk. And then Satan can inhabit him because now he has a body. And there you go. Voila. Right. You got the Antichrist inhabited by Hasatan himself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how everything's going to come together, but
that just looks like that to me right
enough,
now.
That is a good enough explanation as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there was people around that thought Kennedy was going to come back to life. You know, he had the headshot and all that stuff, and you know, he was going to, in some people's minds.
Not yet.
Ah, man. All right, greedy. All right. Okay. Now,
we wrap that up.
Yeah, we got that one done. So I want to show here again, the title slide from today is No Christians Allowed. And I want to tell you why. The day is fast approaching, in my opinion, that this is going to happen. And I've got reasons for that belief. And they really are all because, there's persecution going on right now anyway. I mean, you look around the world right now, you got persecution in India, you got it in Russia, parts of Africa, definitely in Islamic countries like Iran, for instance. But if you look at what's going on in Israel right now, that is a good indicator. There was an old poem, I guess it was, they came for this group and I wasn't one of them. So I didn't care. And they came for this and they didn't care. And then they came for me and there wasn't anybody left. Well, that's kind of the way that this is going to work out, in my opinion. Now, I want to, I do have a couple of clips here I would like to play to make that point.
Okay.
First of all, we're going to talk about the Gaza war right now, which is the cause of all this. So this is, the phase two has started. Okay, let's listen to this.
Israel expanded its ground operation in Gaza, deploying tanks and infantry supported by extensive airstrikes from the air and sea. The defense minister of Israel stated that the ground shook in Gaza, marking the beginning of a new phase in the conflict against Hamas, who rule the territory.
The intense bombardment, described by Gaza residents as the most severe of the war, disrupted most communications in Gaza. This isolation cut off the 2.3 million residents of the besieged enclave from the outside world, giving the Israeli military control over the narrative in this new stage of the conflict. Benjamin Wright reporting.
I don't know that it gave them charge of anything. I mean, they're saying, you know, Israel is able to create the narrative or set the narrative. I disagree with that completely. The media sets whatever, okay? There is a conference call every morning. People need to be aware of this. I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. I can tell you this. There is a conference call every morning that the press gets on, and they are able to say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And that's the reason that you can go from network to network and hear the same report almost verbatim.
Because yeah, I love that clip.
Writes it down. Okay? Now, anyway, my point in playing that is that this is really what has started all the protests that are everywhere. And for that, I want to go to this next clip where you can begin to get the picture together. Listen to this.
The UN has warned that civil order is starting to break down in Gaza as a result of the rapidly deteriorating humanitarian situation in the besieged enclave. The International Criminal Court's top prosecutor has warned that impeding relief aid to Gaza's civilian population could constitute a crime. Intense Israeli airstrikes on Gaza continue, with the IDF's ground operations in Gaza expanding. The Hamas-led health ministry says the death toll has risen to over 8,300. A mob of anti-Israeli protesters stormed an airport in Dagestan in Russia's North Caucasus region. The rioters were reportedly searching for Israeli passengers of flights arriving from Tel Aviv, demanding to stop them from entering Dagestan. Local authorities and religious leaders denounced the riot as a severe violation of law, calling on people to avoid provocations igniting religious hatred. Daria Bundachuk reports from Moscow.
Hundreds of angry protesters chanting pro-Palestine, anti-Israel slogans gathered near the Makhachkala airport in Dagestan in southern Russia on Sunday evening. They opposed the anticipated arrival of flights from Israel. At least 200 protesters broke into the airport building and ran onto the tarmac, encircling two passenger planes. Police broke up the riot and detained some 60 protesters. Over 20 people, including 9 policemen, were injured during clashes as police pushed out the rioters to regain control over the airport. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
And if they had really cared, that protest wouldn't have even lasted 5 minutes, because Russia has a much stricter society
than they do here. Yeah, they don't play.
Yeah, in the United States. And that, so people say, okay, well, that's overseas, that's Russia, you know, Iran is going nuts and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that kind of stuff just doesn't happen in the United States of America, really?
Hundreds of demonstrators took control of Grand Central Terminal on Friday, demanding a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Over 200 protesters were arrested.
Members of the Jewish activist group, Jewish Voice for Peace, organized the demonstration in Grand Central Terminal's main concourse during rush hour. Their call for a Gaza ceasefire coincided with increased Israeli military actions. Wade Addison reporting.
Okay. So, yeah, it's happening here in the United States. It's happening. And so if they can intimidate and take out the Jewish population, which I believe somebody told me that the Jewish population, I've seen this on TV, the little blue square. Have you seen that little blue square on TV? It said, you know, the Jewish population is like 2.4% or something.
Yeah.
And well, okay, if they can do that. Now, the Christian population is a lot bigger, but they can do exactly the same thing to Christians. And here I'm going to put up this, which is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
Timmy.
Okay, so you've got, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people run away. Does any of that seem like it's something that might be happening just about everywhere in the world right now?
Well, just look on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good point, because, you know, it does happen. The problem, though, is that they don't know facts from fiction. Their fact checkers are probably some of the stupidest people that I've ever seen. Now, that's my personal opinion. Okay, let me make that clear. It's personal opinion. Don't take me down, Facebook.
My just humble, because, you're totally,
I mean, I'm
accurate.
I'm right, you're wrong, Facebook, but you're an idiot. Okay, all of your fact checkers are idiots. All they do is they spew out a bunch of stuff, and, you know, they never criticize anybody that's conservative. I mean, anybody that's liberal, they never. They never fact check that. But boy, if you're conservative, you better not miss a. You better cross every T. Yeah, go ahead.
That's all funded by Soros and his buddies.
It is
all the fact checkers. They didn't exist before, you know. This big conservative movement, they didn't exist.
Right.
I think when Trump got in, that's when all of a sudden we got these fact-checking websites all over the place. Yeah, right. Just look at who founded them. It's funny.
Absolutely. Okay.
Operation Mockingbird. You're familiar with that.
So anyway, my point in all of this, David, is that the day is going to come when Christians are going to be subject to that persecution. And I think that, you know, I did a quick search today, and we were talking about this before you even got on the air, but there's all these different scriptures, you know, and if you pull up persecution, you get a list of them. And I just didn't have time to put them all on there, you know, but there's a bunch. But I see persecution coming for Christians. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think they can shut us down pretty easy. You know, and control is pretty easy, because of the fact is there's right now in America, and really around the world, there's a lot fewer Christians, real Christians, than there are secular people. That's my opinion. Now, I could be wrong. What do you think about that?
Well, the Bible is crystal clear on the road is very narrow. It doesn't just say, hey, it's a thin road, and then there's a wider road over there. It literally means in the Greek, a hard, crackly crevice that's really hard to climb up versus a big, wide, broad plain where the multitude goes. Right. So that's going to be the real difference in how few people will really be saved, especially like in America. It's just easy. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean?
Oh, it's easy,
You know? And then, you know, hey, didn't I call you Lord, Lord? And didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he's like, I never knew you.
Right.
But, you know, I just never knew you. Because that seems to be a fad these days. Hey, let me go around and I'll yell at a demon. Get out! That's not how it works. Yell at them and they'll leave.
Well, I mean, I know that Jesus cast out demons. I know he did that.
But he didn't like yell at them. He's like, you need to leave. Get out now and go into the pigs.
He gave that authority to his disciples. Okay. And sometimes they were able to pull it off. Sometimes they didn't. And I'm not really sure why it didn't work at times. Maybe
they needed to fast. And there's contract reasons for that, but again, that's on the contract show.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to get more into that as we go on the midweek shows that are coming up. There's a lot of contract stuff in that. I mean, you go into Genesis, there's a lot there, you know, and that's going to be right in your wheelhouse, you know, in order to really get into that. I'm looking forward to that discussion for sure. But nowadays, I guess my point here is that I'm not so sure that people, I mean, do you believe in exorcisms? I mean, I'm just pulling that out, just all of a sudden and throwing it out.
Yeah, not the movie type. Yeah, not the movie type, but clearly, like, you know, I've seen a couple come out, and it's just like, listen, we just don't want you here. So by the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. in his mighty name, you just need to leave.
Yeah.
You know, and it really depends on the person who has them, because they're like, no, like, I like this guy here. So you could throw them out. But if that person you're throwing them out of still wants them in there, he's going to let them back in because it's okay. his house.
OK. Yeah.
You know, gotcha. Whereas if they really want them out, then, you know, I've seen them scream and I've you know, and then one of them is like, no, I can't leave. The lady wanted her out, mm-hmm. but her mother sold her to the devil to get the powers of witchcraft. Oh, so this right. demon was screaming for a few hours saying, no, she's mine. I have a contract. We made a deal. She's mine. I am not leaving. And so this lady's struggling back and forth, the poor lady. And we're just sitting there. Listen, you got to leave. You have to leave. You have to leave for hours. You got to leave. You got to leave. You got to leave. You got to leave. In Jesus' name. So we're just sitting there, but it's a lot of showmanship today. And that's yeah. kind of the point I was getting at.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've seen it on TV. You know, I've seen it in the movies. Personally, I've never seen it ever. You know, I guess I go to the wrong churches or something. I don't know. Or maybe I go to the right churches.
We can't all be the spleen.
But, you know, I've
somebody's
never
got to be the liver.
Yeah, I've never seen it for myself. You know, yeah. I've never seen faith healers, you know, never seen that. You know, where somebody's broken.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of it's just showtime. And I don't go around and I don't have this ministry where I just walk around. You know what? But if someone's there and they need to be delivered, let's do it. Okay, you out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I've just never seen it, you know. And so I don't know. I'd like to see it one time for real. But, and then again, I'm kind of scared to. Kind of scary, though.
I haven't seen anyone raised from the dead yet.
So. Yeah, me either. That one, I'm well, you know, maybe I'll be a
still
part
working
of that
on
one.
It.
Who knows? You know.
You know what I think? I'm thinking, hey, would they want to come back?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, you know, all those people that supposedly go to heaven and come back and tell you stuff. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah,
so, we have come to the end of the first half of the show.
Already.
Now then. Yeah. I mean, it goes quick, David. That's the reason we got an hour. But. Anyway, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can fast forward if you want to, but we got news for you for 3 minutes, okay, and then we'll be back. For everybody else, we will be back simply right after the break, whatever your radio station happens to do, and we will see you right after the break, so hang in there for the second half.
Feature story news in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. The Israeli military says it's involved in large exchanges with Hamas in Gaza, as it tries to push further into the enclave. It comes after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it was time for war and refused calls to push for a ceasefire. The health ministry in Gaza says it's recorded more than 8,500 deaths from Israel's bombardment in the last 3 weeks. Avicen Sarah Coates in Tel Aviv reports that the Israeli military has given an update on the fighting.
Extremely heavy fighting is underway deep inside the Gaza Strip. This shows that Israeli forces have really made some incursions over the last few hours. He says that they are clashing with Hamas militants. They've taken out a number of Hamas targets just over the last few minutes and also seized weapons and killed a number of Hamas militants, including a senior Hamas commander that they say was one of the people that was really behind this horrendous attack.
Meanwhile, there's growing pressure on the US President Joe Biden to call for a ceasefire. As FSN's US correspondent Simon Marks reports, he's continuing to call on the Israeli government to observe the laws of war.
With each passing day, as Israel's assault intensifies, the White House comes under fresh pressure. And it's reported here that some of that pressure is coming from within the corridors of the Biden administration. At the White House and the State Department, some officials are said to be frustrated that the president has still not demanded a ceasefire, nor established what Israel's endgame is in Gaza. And Egypt's announcement that it will not allow refugees to resettle in the Sinai Peninsula is being seen here as a fresh example of the limits some Arab countries are placing on offers of help for the Palestinians.
The US Supreme Court is hearing arguments on two cases involving public officials blocking people on social media. They're the first of several upcoming cases that will determine the limits of free speech on the internet. FSN's Iris Spitzer reports.
In the two cases, school district members in California and a city manager in Michigan both blocked social media users with whom they'd had negative interactions. That led to those officials being sued for allegedly violating those users' First Amendment right to free speech. Lower courts ruled differently in those cases, setting up a showdown in the Supreme Court. It's the first of several upcoming tests about how free speech online will be interpreted. Later in the current session, justices will consider issues including under what conditions social media companies can ban users.
The U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates on pause this week. Central bankers have started their two-day policy meeting with a decision on whether to push rates higher due on Wednesday afternoon. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and they're from New York City. My co-host, my new friend, and my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. David, I wanted to finish off, as we get started with the second half of the show, I wanted to finish off Timothy, and this is 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 9. I'll give you the opportunity to read this one if you want to. But this is just the end of, you know, we went over 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and I thought it was important to also to include this. 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 9.
Okay, so it says, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist also the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was."
Okay, now, I realize that this may not fit, but then again, when you look at it closely, it just might fit what's going on right now in Israel. I mean, when you think about it, you know, here's these people that never have learned the truth. They've never been able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I see them, you know, it says, who creep into households. Well, okay, what just happened in Gaza? There was a whole bunch of people creeping into households, killing people, right? So, you know, does that apply to now, or, you know, is this a completely different thing? It has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah, I don't see it as Gaza. I see it as, you know, here we are in the end times, and we're in the Laodicean church, because the churches, the seven churches were lined out, and it perfectly represents the church through the whole age of grace in the seven stages. We're in Laodicea right now, and this is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just all these crazy ideas, these, you know, silly women laden with sins. That's the King James. Let's look up silly.
Okay.
Let's see what
they're... Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
See what you come
is
up
that
with.
Kalepos?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you know, I was just,
foolish.
It just was a coincidence, I guess, you know, the way it looked. And actually, I hadn't even thought about that when I was asking the question, you know. I just wanted to finish off 2 Timothy, and that came to mind. I was like, wait a minute, that kind of sounds, you know, like I said, coincidence, I guess. But go ahead. What did you come up with on silly?
Well, silly is diminutive from the word gune. And it literally means a woman or a wife, and a little, so gunakarion is a small, not in stature, but in a small, mental capacity, kind of foolish young wife. So, you know, old wives' tales, that's where we get all that from, but that's what this means.
Okay.
And it's led away with all their lust. That's, you know, soap operas come to mind. And then they always got all these little things, you know. Oh, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible.
That is not in the Bible. You know, and it drives me crazy when somebody says, well, the Bible says, you know, and Oh man,
this is kind of what they're talking about. Yeah.
My deal always when somebody says something like that is show it to me. Mm-hmm. Here's a Bible. Okay. Show it to me. Yeah. You know, and
that's great. Where is that?
99.9% of the time they can't find it, and the other 0.01% of the time they didn't quote it right. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. That's been my experience anyway. Maybe I guess I'm hanging out with the wrong people. I don't know. I thought I was a pretty good crowd.
I just know, you know, coming up, from being young, I was young once.
Yeah.
And the just growing up in the different churches, and I even remember back then, in the beginning, I was just learning, and then I'm like, well, I learned this. Don't you have anything else? You know? And it was just milk of the word, the same silly nonsense over and over and over, yeah. Which is okay. If you're a kid, you go, oh, Google, Gaga, you know, oh, that's nice. You know? Uh-huh. But, you know, by the time you're 10, you're like, listen, don't do that anymore. Give me something good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I look at.
I'll tell you what's really good is that you actually did something that nobody else in the history of time has been able to do, and that's actually capture a picture of Godzilla for real. In New York. I had to point that. I had to point that out. I know there's a bunch of people that have been watching the show going, what is that exactly? Is this a joke or what? Yeah, it is, you know, sort of, kind of, you know. But
that was when that red haze came over New York. It was like a couple of months ago when, they sprayed us with Agent Orange and then blamed the forest fires that they started in Canada for it. So that's the actual picture of that day, clearly without Godzilla, right. But picture is real.
Well, I'm going to ask something again without knowing the answer, and this is always difficult for me to do. But anyway, there's there was, may still be, I'm not sure, a major fire thing going on in Canada, and I don't know if I had a friend, a host on another radio station that got really sick because of it. I don't know exactly where that fire is located in Canada. I mean, I know where New York is, but I don't know if it had any impact on you and the people up there or not.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. Did that?
Yeah, because the wind comes down this way. So.
Yeah. Well, he lived on the other coast, so you know, okay. I wasn't really sure where that was actually at.
Well, most of our smoke came from the middle.
Okay.
But they started them all over, and with all the spraying they've been doing with the aluminum and strontium and barium in those nice even lines that you see across the sky that were never there when we were kids. So that lights up pretty easy when you shoot a laser at it. Just saying.
Okay. Well, like I said, I didn't know if it had any impact on you guys up there or not. I mean, obviously we didn't, you know, we didn't get it.
Now, it all points to the end. And I really wanted to hammer that out. We're talking about Israel. Oh, that's horrible. They're doing this and that and the other. It was prophesied. So that just means we're that much closer. You know, exactly. Foolish people. You know, I can't tell you how many Facebook prophets are on there, all with their all different things, and they're going, and all they're doing is correcting everybody else and being vicious and all that. And it's like, well, listen, go start a show, you know. Do some teaching. If you're a teacher, then teach and just, you know, stop just poo-pooing everybody.
Right.
And it's just crazy. Yeah. We're getting into the end of the age where everybody hates each other.
Well, yeah. And that goes back again to what we were taking there in 2 Timothy. You know, if I was to put that one back up again, verses 1-5, I mean, excuse me, all of that, every bit of it I see everywhere. And not only just there in, you know, different liberal areas like New York or California or something, or especially Minnesota, I guess, but, it's even prevalent down here. You know, it's 100 miles from me. They're as entrenched in that kind of stuff as anybody in the most liberal parts of the world. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, but anyway, it all fits, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't all of that, every bit of that, can't you see it in all of it?
Amen. It's there. It's everything. Slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You know, when you have drag queens at the Dove Awards, I mean, come on.
Right.
Stop already.
Yeah. Public libraries that get into that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, I've got to say this in order to save the video, okay? But, you know, I'm not judging somebody who is transgender. I'm not judging somebody who chooses to be a drag queen. I disagree with them, and I think I have a personal right to say I do not want my grandchildren going somewhere where that happens. And as a matter of fact, I would make sure I didn't. And if we did accidentally stumble across something like that, we would remove ourselves immediately. And I can say the same thing about churches, actually. So now let me, and everybody goes, oh, wait. But if I am looking for a new church, I don't walk into the church and walk halfway down and find a place to sit. I sure don't go to the front. Visitors never sit on the front row, ever. Okay. But if I go to a new church for the very first time, I walk in and I find me a good, nice spot on the very last pew. Very last pew of the church. Why? Because if this pastor starts saying something stupid, if he, you know, and he's talking about stuff that I know is wrong, I want to be able to get up and leave without disturbing the service for all of his followers. Okay? So I get up and, you know, luckily I've never had to do that. I'm pretty selective with churches. But anyway, that's the plan. That's what goes into it.
That's the original plan. You're a lot nicer than me.
Are you one of those that goes to the middle and walks out and says, this is awful?
I walk up to the front.
Oh, do you? Okay. All right. Well, you're a brave
individual. Yeah, you're going to see me, and we're going to figure out what you're made of.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. My wife is completely the opposite, so we balance each other out. We usually wind up in the middle if we're together.
Yeah. Well, my wife, she just, you know, she says, okay, well, you know, if that's where you're going to be, I am too. I'm not going to. So I guess I'm lucky in that in that regard. But
you know. Yep.
Okay.
Mine's always like David.
All right. Very quickly, I think we should talk about what's going on right now. You know, all over the world with all of these people that are protesting and yelling from the river to the sea. How many of them do you think actually know what that means?
Six of them.
Yeah. I mean, your neighbor decides that, you know, they should push you out, and so you retaliate. Now, are you to blame for retaliating?
Well, that's just going to be the narrative. It's just what it's going to be, folks, so get used to it. I mean, you should hear anything. Any single time you see someone attack Israel, you just know automatically they're going to respond, and they're going to do it quite well, and everybody in the world's going to blame them for it. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
But this time I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything anymore. But this time it was all over. I mean, everybody saw it. They saw the massacre that happened.
Yeah, and there's no excuse this time. So, but they do it anyway.
I don't understand how people can take that and say, you know, okay, yeah, they were massacred, but they deserved it. Really? I mean, that's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
The baby deserved it. I get it.
It's insane. You know, and so you've got to look back at the Bible and see that, you know, in between the first half of the show and the second half, we were having a conversation with a pastor. And I said, you know, he said that he was, he lived in New Jersey. And I said, okay, well, you know, that's about the same size as Israel, right? Yeah, okay. This little bitty spot on earth, can't the Jews have one place of their own, especially when it was given by God 7,000 years ago? Can't they have one?
Well, that's precisely
country, just
why.
one little tiny thing.
You're wondering why they don't understand, Joel, because Satan, for all his evil, is a genius. Okay. And he's got this whole plan, and these people just don't understand. They don't understand prophecy and how it all works and what is the goal. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is a contract written with Israel. Okay. Mm-hmm. God made it himself. And he says, I'm going to keep this contract for my sake because Israel is evil and backslidden and all this other stuff. He gives a whole list. This has nothing to do with you because you're horrible. Right. This has to do with me. I made a contract and I keep my word. So this is what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And he made that promise to Abe. So what Satan is trying to do, because everything's legal, everything is, you know, in a court and it's all justice. So if God is just, which Satan knows he's 100% just, no cutting corners on anything. If Satan can somehow get rid of everybody who's entitled to that promise, he thinks somehow he has won. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't argue with them, because they're of the devil. You know, Islam is of the devil, and the devil just wants to completely destroy them in order to nullify the contract, so he thinks he can take over all of creation. So it's not going to stop. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, okay, let's cut a deal with the devil. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, he's gonna, like the scorpion and the frog, right? When he's trying to cross the river, the scorpion wanted to cross the river. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm. And snake too. Yeah, yeah, snake. The one I dealt with was snake. You know, where the snake and says, "I can't get across." You know, well, you're gonna bite me. You're gonna bite me. No. You know, because if I bite you, we both die. You know, we'll both sink. Mm-hmm. And so he lets the snake on his back, and they paddle out in the water. And sure enough, the snake bites him. He said, why did you do that? Because I'm a snake. Really that simple, you know.
That's what I do.
And that's kind of the way this is. But, you know, it just amazes me. I see all these people wearing these shirts, free Palestine. Well, okay, that's Israel. So, well, let's free them. Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with that. Because until they adopted the name Palestine, in what was it, 1972, 1976, somewhere around there, until they adopted that name, that's what Israel was called, right? Palestine?
Yeah, it was put by the Romans because they wanted to make fun of them as for the Philistines. So yeah. it migrated into English, into Palestinians.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So here we are, you know, we're at the end of the age. They, you know, Satan knows his time is short. He knows the calendar. Mm-hmm. You know, better than we do. So he knows his time is short. So he's ramping everything up. And this is what we are to expect. And we cannot expect people who don't know the word, because the Holy Spirit reveals this to us.
Right.
So we can't expect people who do not have the Holy Spirit to actually understand the things that we understand. The Bible even says that. I'll have to look it up. But basically, it just says, you know, since they're lost, they're given over to a retrograde mind, and they just will not be able to understand until they repent, they come to the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit can, you know, redeem them from that, that's what we want to get into. We want to lead people into that, into repentance and receiving Jesus as your Savior, because the time is short. But I got good news. You ready? Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Go ahead. All right. So you remember Lot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's a picture of the rapture. People don't realize that. What happened with Lot? So the angels come. They're like, hey, listen, we're going to destroy this place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're even trying to mess with his kids. We know that story. Trying to mess with the angels in ways that we really don't like to talk about.
Right.
But that's where we get the term sodomy from, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So when the angels came, they're like, Lot, we got to go.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Lot, we got to go. And he's sitting over, and then he goes to bed. And then they're like, dude, we got to go. Uh-huh. We can't destroy this place until you're out. It was right up to the very last minute. They grabbed him by the hand. If you read the narrative, they grabbed him by the hand, and they were in the field. Mm-hmm. It didn't say they grabbed by the hand and they ran through the bushes and out the gate and all this other stuff. No, they grabbed by the hand. They was in the field. Boom. And then immediately after that, that's when the destruction rained down. And that's when Lot's wife turned back and the whole story.
Don't look back. Don't look back. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's the same. Right. Enoch and Noah are the same thing. Okay. Enoch was a picture of one man, and we are one man in Christ, one body, going up before the destruction came on the earth. But Noah, as a picture of Israel, was protected through the flood. So he had to go through the flood, but he was protected through it. And very, very few came out on the other side to repopulate the earth. And people don't realize that. They're like, Noah was like, that's like a picture of the rapture. No. Enoch was a picture of the rapture. He was taken up and out of the way because he was close to God. And Noah was protected through. That's Israel going through there. Because there's two. There's the heavenly and the earthly seed. So,
I want to get back to something that you said earlier and get your opinion on this. Because, I just want to hear you say, I mean, I already know the answer to this one, but anyway, I'm going to run it by you anyway. Do people who are unsaved, when they pray, and it's they're not saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. They're not saying any of that. They're saying, hey, Lord, I got a bad situation here. I'm going to go in for surgery, so fix that for me. Does the Lord hear that?
Legally, he cannot.
Correct. And, that's something that people don't seem to get. And I don't really know how to explain it as in great detail the way I know you can. But someone who is unsaved, the only time that they're going to be heard in their prayer is when they do pray that salvation prayer. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's 100%, because legally he can't do anything. Let's say you got locked up for robbing the candy store, okay? And they come in and say, listen, you're entitled to a public defender. And you're like, no, I don't want a public defender. Well, the public defender cannot talk to you until you make an agreement with him or her, and then they're allowed to talk to you about the case and then move forward. Other than that, they're like,
you're on your
own. I'm out. Well, Jesus is our advocate. That's a legal term. Correct. Okay? He is our counselor. Just like the law is a counselor. So you need to come to him and say, hey, I give myself over to you, and you shed your blood for me. You purchased me now.
Right.
Okay, I come in there. Now he's our advocate. Now he can speak on our behalf. Now you can go to him, because you can't go to the Father unless you go through the Son.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Well, see, now people don't understand that. So, I've heard many times, and I'm sure you have too, somebody said, well, I prayed, nothing happened. So, I know God's not real, because if he was real, he wouldn't have let that happen, or he wouldn't have let that happen, or whatever, because I prayed once, it was like 5 years ago. I prayed one time and he didn't do anything at all. So, I don't know why you pray all the time. You're just wasting your time. Haven't you heard stuff like that? And you just want to jump in there and say, well, have you asked the Lord for forgiveness of your sins? No, never thought about that, but God's God, mm-hmm. right? He can do whatever he wants to. You want to fill in the blanks on all that?
Yeah. And so we think God's there at our beck and call,
right?
When we need him. But, then when our regular life is going on, we can just go do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. It kind of really doesn't work that way. That's what got us into this mess to begin with.
And making deals doesn't work either, by the way. I'm just going to throw that one out there, because I know a lot of people, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That doesn't work either, right?
Yeah. Well, unless it's coming to the Lord. Foxhole Christians have and they're like, listen, I give my life to you if you just save me. Okay, signed.
I cannot tell you how many times, I get ready to say something like, Lord, if you'll do that. I know. And then I will immediately come back and say, Lord, it's not like I'm trying to make a deal with you, but, if you'll do this. I mean, it's really hard for anybody not to try.
Well, if you're his son, you can't make a deal with him. Yeah, he said that. If you're his son, you're a joint heir with Jesus. He says, bring everything. Because if you have a desire and you're following the Holy Spirit, that desire comes from him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Right.
And you'll know if you're being selfish or not, because the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, and you'll just know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've run into that many, many times. And, you know, I've told this story before, but I think it's applicable now. There were many times, David, when I would go to a church, and this was back before I was actually saved. I was just saved. I said I was a Christian, but I really wasn't. And I, you know, they would be talking about, can't you see the hand of the Lord coming in this part of your life and this part of your life, and, you know, how he guided you in this direction or that direction. And all these guys are sitting around me, you know, and everybody's saying, oh yeah, amen, you know, everything. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm nodding my head too. And the whole time I'm saying, no, not a single time. I've never seen the Lord do anything for me ever. I earned everything I got. Okay. And then once I actually prayed that prayer of salvation, actually came to the Lord, actually was baptized for real, actually took Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and tried to follow him. And, you know, I'm a sinner like everybody else, but try to follow him as best I can. Once I did that, then yes, I can see the hand of God in everything throughout my entire life, every little thing. I mean, if I think about something long enough, I can say, oh yeah, wow. I didn't even realize that. I mean, you know,
he orchestrated it. Yep.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's really incredible, but it's something that for those of you out there that are not Christian, it's something you cannot experience until you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And
yeah, then you'll see it.
And just like there is a last play in every football game, when that play is over, the game is over, and the Lord is coming back for his church. He's going to raise up every Christian, living and dead, on this earth. And whether we go immediately right up into the clouds, or as David said, maybe we get to float up a little bit and then kind of enjoy it a little bit. Okay. No matter how the rapture happens, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you got to stick around for 7 years, at least a part of it, of the worst time that the earth has ever seen and ever will see, in 7 years, called the Great Tribulation. And you can avoid all that by simply saying, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on that third day just like he said he would. I know that he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he's ascended to heaven. I know he sits at the right hand of God. I know he's coming back for his church before God unleashes those 7 years of wrath. I promise to follow you all the days of my life to the very best of my ability. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And you will be saved, and you won't have to experience those years. So, David, we're coming to the end, believe it or not, of this edition of The Last Christian. You have any parting words? You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, if we're just keep in mind the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to clarify that, because I said, David said that you float up. No, he didn't really say that. He just gave a possibility that you would be changed in that twinkling of an eye. And then time wise, you would possibly go up. We don't know.
Yeah, we'll rise up.
We don't know. We don't have the, you know, the Bible doesn't say. It's not real specific about that. And what do they call that? A great mystery or something like that?
Yep, anyway, the mystery. Esoteric. We'll find out when it happens.
So we hope that you will join us again next time for the next edition of The Last Christian. In the next show, it's all about Scripture, and we start with Genesis 1:1. Until next time, everybody, thank you for joining us. Good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.